This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 395, up 1¾. July corn, 403, up 1¾. September corn, 410¼, up 1½. May soybeans, 978¾, down 3. July soybeans, 982½, down 4. August soybeans, 981, down 4½. May wheat, 519, down 4½. July wheat, 523¾, down 4½. September wheat, 533¼, down 4¼. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with South America's soybean harvest weighing on soybean prices, while corn showed only minor strength. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 367 to 390, and soybean bids were down 1 to 4 at 949 to 965. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 370 to 389, and soybean bids were steady to 3 cents lower at 955 to 979. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 2 cents higher at 377 to 396. Soybean bids ended mixed at 961 to 984, while wheat bids were down 5 cents at 432 to 489. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 cents lower at 982 to 996, basis steady, ranging from 3 to 17 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $344.50 to $354.50, that is $1.80 to $6.80 per ton lower, while basis ended steady to $5 a ton lower, ranging from 20 to 30 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 2 cents higher at 387 to 401, with basis steady ranging from 8 under to 6 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 6 higher at 385 to 394, with basis steady to 4 cents stronger at 10 under to 1 under the May. Soybean bids ended mixed at 979 to 996, with basis steady to as much as 8 cents higher, ranging from option to 17 over the May. New crop wheat prices on Wednesday down 5 cents at 506 to 519, with basis steady at 18 to 5 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 405 to 406. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 1 to 2 cents with quotations at 10.03 to 10.06. Soft wheat up 5 cents today at 5.18 to 5.19, and Milo ended 1 to 2 higher at 4.57 to 4.61. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 374 to 393. New crop soybean bids at 902 to 922. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 373 to 388. New crop soybean bids at 917 to 937. And in the southern part of the state on Wednesday, new crop corn bids range from 378 to 388. New crop soybean bids at 902 to 928. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 486 up to 512. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 161.72, down 27 cents. June live cattle, 152.37, down 67 cents. August live cattle, 149.60, down 72 cents. March feeder cattle, 217.70, up 52 cents. April feeder cattle, 217.25, down $1.67. May feeder cattle, 215.97, down $1.90. April lean hogs, 59.82, up $1.22. May lean hogs, 66.52, up 37 cents. June lean hogs, 74.60, down 7 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday, the 25th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Rec Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 9 cents lower. A range of $49 to $57, the weighted average carcass price of $55.70. The Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows trading steady. Moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 32 to 36. 4 to 5 weight at 34 to 38. 5 to 6 weight at 36 to 41 and over 600 pounds, 37 to 43. The Illinois Direct Hog Trade Barrels and Gelts are country buying points trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $34 to $41. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled $13,469. United Producers Livestock Auction for Tuesday the 24th had receipts of $447 compared to last week's slaughter steers and heifers traded a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers were steady. Slaughter cows were 1 to 2 higher. Slaughter bulls were steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter steers choice at $160 to $166.50. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at $151 to $154. Heifers choice at $160.50 to $165. Any direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $162. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 478 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $66.82, which was 99 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $250.51, which was $3.68 higher. Select carcasses at $247.14, which was $2.36 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $99,000. Compared to $107,000 last week and $120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $435,000 compared to $436,000 last week and $410,000 one year ago. The Arthur Hay Auction Report for Monday the 23rd had receipts of 199 bales. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at $4.25 to $8. Large squares 3x3s at $97 a bale. Good quality alfalfa small squares at $2.25 to $3.25. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys reporting.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned after the break, where we'll hear about GMO and unmanned aerial vehicle legislation that's being passed around Capitol Hill. That's coming up after this. Representatives from Kansas and North Carolina have introduced the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, which would create a national science-based standard for the safety and labeling of food products containing genetically modified ingredients. The legislation is supported by a number of ag organizations, including the National Corn Growers Association and American Feed Industry Association. National Council of Farmer Cooperatives President and CEO Chuck Connor says this legislation is vital to giving farmers and consumers the certainty they deserve when it comes to labeling of food containing GMO ingredients, and at the same time would preserve choices in the marketplace for both groups. Connor says growers and farmer co-ops across the country have embraced biotechnology as a way to increase yields in an environmentally and economically sustainable way. He says this bill represents an important step in cutting through the misinformation about GMOs and focuses on the science attesting to their safety and the benefits these crops provide. UAVs are becoming more common and their use in agriculture is expected to increase. But with that increased use, there are increased legal issues to be sorted out. One of the first issues is who owns the airspace above your farm? Ohio State University Associate Professor Peggy Kirkhall says that's not very clear and has been dictated by court-made law.
Generally, the United States Supreme Court has said that a property owner does possess certain airspace above the land. How much? Well, that's a little bit gray. It's what you would use, you know, in order to occupy and use the land, what you would need above the land to do that. So there's not a clear number. As you look around at court decisions around the country, it seems that around 400 feet above your property seems to be a safe number to settle on, but it depends what you're doing on the property.
Many farmers are concerned about animal rights groups or other groups flying over the farm to try and get unauthorized videos. Kirkhall says recent ag gag or other civil privacy laws may be used to prevent unauthorized videos, but each state has different rules. One rule that is nationwide, according to Kirk Hall, is that it is a crime to shoot down a UAV.
If there's not a specific law for a drone, most states have some type of law, and there's definitely a federal law that says that it's a crime to shoot an aircraft out of the air. So there's potential law enforcement. I know that a lot of our law enforcement officials are starting to watch for this issue because use is becoming so prevalent.
Rules regarding the commercial use of UAVs are being written by the FAA, but Kirk Hall does not expect them to be released until 2016. Not many people would invite an entire elementary school to come visit their home or their office, but that's exactly what Carlinville area dairy farmer Todd Armour has done. Tuesday and Wednesday this week, Armour took time to give Carlinville Elementary School students tours of his dairy operation. Armour explains why he was happy to show his farm to these students.
In the agriculture arena, we've only got so many opportunities to drive the conversation. And these kids, you can let them see cows early and maybe give them some understanding of what we do for a living and how our cows are treated and what's on our minds when we're working with our animals.
Armour gave an overview of what the students had the chance to see while on the farm.
We tried to take them through as much as we could in the time that was allotted. We had 45-minute tours, and with little kids and little calves at the same time, it's a little bit of a time killer. They love being around the smaller animals, but what we were trying to do was focus on the life of an animal from calfhood to production. We went from the calf hutches to the calf barn and then into the milking herd and showed them where they all live and finished up in the milking parlor and then had a little Prairie Farms milk when we were done.
For many of the students, it was their first time on a dairy farm. Armour went over some of the most common reactions he received while giving the tours.
Well, I think generally they liked it. You know, a typical kid reaction to any animal farm is the smell right off the bat. But once they get used to that, they're enthralled by the calves and the size of the cows and the amount of feed they eat and the volume of milk they produce. And I think just the vastness of it all.
The students were full of questions for Armour. He gave an example of how he handled these questions and tried to make his answers more relatable to the students.
Most of it's about calves, why we raise our calves in calf hutches, management type things. Trying to understand, okay, why is this calf in its own hutch? Well, you know, it's about animal health. And if you keep them from one another, they don't all get sick. One will get sick and the next one will be healthy. I try to relate it back to school. I say, you know, when a classmate gets sick, five of them get sick. Well, calves are the same. If you have them all together and one gets sick, five of them get sick. So, you know, we try to raise them in calf hutches for the first 2 months of their lives, keep them separated and keep them healthy and growing well.
The students weren't the only inquisitive visitors to the farm. Armour said the teachers who accompanied them had questions of their own.
A lot of them don't get exposure to animal agriculture either, so, you know, they're just as inquisitive or more so than the students. Every other year or so, we have the Ag in the Classroom program come through, and in the Ag in the Classroom, they have a summer program where teachers go for some extra accreditation, and they'll come through and my wife and I'll put on a science tour for these teachers and explain the science behind what we're doing here and the biology and the physiology and the different things that go into the thought process of running a dairy.
Second grade teacher Jill Graham was one of the teachers who toured the dairy farm with her students. She explains how they got the opportunity to have a field trip to the farm.
Well, actually, this was a surprise visit. It was a nice treat for the kids. It was arranged by Tracy Smith, and it was a grant, and we were allowed to come out here to see where our milk comes from and learn about the dairy process.
Graham said she and her students were leaving the farm with a very positive outlook on the experience.
I think it was awesome, and we did learn a lot. We learned a lot of amazing things from birth all the way to the time that they give milk. It was a great tour.
While having an entire elementary school go through your farm in 2 days may seem like a daunting task, Armour did it with a smile on his face because he had the chance to experience his favorite part of farm tours with each group, witnessing a student learning something new.
Probably one thing I really like is part of the tour, we go into the milking parlor, and early in the tour, we've had them at the calf hutches, and they can stick their fingers in the calves' mouths, and I say, okay, remember that. And when we go into the milking parlor, the process of milking a cow is trying to mimic the calf sucking the cow. And I have them stick their fingers in the milking machines and the realization that, oh, that's what it's all about. They are mimicking what a calf is doing to a mother cow in this parlor. And their eyes light up when they stick their fingers in the milking machines.
Again, that was Carlinville area dairy farmer Todd Armour speaking about Carlinville Elementary School tours he hosted on his farm Tuesday and Wednesday. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.